Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, where wealth strategies and investment wisdom collide, featuring your distinguished host and certified financial planner, Bart Zandbergen.
Hello, everyone. Letitia Brubaum here. I'm in the studio. Bart is out. And I am so excited you guys are tuning in to the Zandbergen Report, where we talk about wealth strategies and investment wisdom. So thank you, Paul, for queuing us up. Thank you.
Paul. I'm not Paul. I'm Steven Spielberg, I'm told here.
Well, you look like him.
If only that were true, even a fraction true here.
Right. Yeah, well, you're the jack of all trades, and I can imagine there's some history there. That
yes, well, I learned long time. Everybody always kids me because I wear cargo shorts and I dress very casually. I learned when I worked in Hollywood. I didn't ever meet Stephen, but others like him, they dress like this all the time because they can. So right. I said, well, I open the studio, I'm going to dress like I can.
Yeah, and we had our 1 year anniversary of the show, and you dressed up, and no one, and by the way, you weren't wearing a hat. No one recognized
but
you.
But he walked right by me. It was disappointing. I was trying to impress everybody. Nobody even noticed.
I know. It's crazy. Well, I'm really excited. Today, we're going to have Zavin, and his last name is Meridian. And he was in our show a little bit ago, but we're really excited to have him back. And before, he was kind of just a guest when Bart and I were chatting about what keeps you up at night. And today, we decided to have you on the show as a guest that we wanted to talk a little bit more about and share your story, your family story with
us. Is this that guy that's the intern? You just introduced him as the intern the last time here, right?
Well, we're always full of surprises, and there's always amazing people who we have in our backyard. And so a little bit about Zavin is he is in school right now, and he is going to USC, and he is studying real estate finance. So we're really excited to have you in the office. You want to say hello and
hello.
A little bit about yourself?
Thanks. Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, I'm just majoring in real estate finance at USC. I'm on the rowing team at the moment, and I'm just kind of keeping myself busy over the summer, especially with the internship and all. Just wanted to thank you again for having me. And all that stuff.
And you're taking classes right now.
I'm taking classes right now.
Can I just ask one question, then I'll try and shut up? I had no idea that you could major in real estate finance. What the heck is it? Real estate finance is I go borrow money and I buy something.
Right.
What else? I mean, I don't even know what real estate finance would be.
For me, it's more of like an eclectic major because I get the finance side, which I kind of want because it's a very broad topic, which I can apply to multiple or several different aspects of any career that I would like to choose. And the real estate side is kind of just a personal thing for me because I'm just super interested in it, I guess. That's based on like what my family's done and kind of how I've been fed into it, I guess, if that's kind of, that makes sense. But
makes sense. Does that make sense to you, Letitia?
Yeah, I'm going to actually dive in a little bit deeper. And I want you to be on the show. Let me tell a little bit about the backstory, and then I want to have a little bit more of a discussion on it, and I want to inspire people. So we bring people on the show all the time that maybe have sold their business or have retired or getting ready to retire, going to the next generation, and we talk about how to transfer wealth to the next generation. Well, we are so thrilled that Zavin, his family has an amazing story, and they have created an amazing businesses and entrepreneurs over their duration of time. And he is the third generation getting ready to see what that looks like, get his feet wet, you know, take over a little bit, maybe get a little bit more, maybe not take over is the right word if the family's listening, but maybe get a little bit more involved. And as he's continuing to be educated, look and see how he's going to have what he's taken and learned from that and apply that and maybe do more of, you know, family business activities. So maybe you want to start with a little bit about, you know, your family history, maybe like where your, you know, I know that we talked about your grandparents are the ones right. That kind of really first moved here and,
yeah.
And, maybe like they, you know, they really didn't start with a whole lot. Maybe you want to share there when they moved here.
Kind of. Yeah.
Their background?
Definitely. My grandfather immigrated here in 1949, December 20th to be exact, and they came through New Orleans from Riga, Latvia, after the war and everything like that. They, you know, LA was booming. They kind of just decided to, you know, shoot over there. So finally got to LA, and my grandfather picked up a job shoveling manure into a cart for $1 a cart. And he saved up. A couple of years later, bought a plot of land.
How much did he come over here with? What's the dollar amount?
Oh, he came over here with like $15. The whole family, his family of five, $15 in their pockets.
Okay, wait, we're just going to stop there for a second because that's huge. They came over here with $15, an entire family, and said, let's create something here.
Yeah.
So from there, he saved up, worked hard, and bought a plot of land. Did that become a consistent theme?
Yeah, I mean, it just as far as real estate is concerned, it's a very, I wouldn't say old-fashioned way of thinking, but it's like just, it was the thing at the time. I mean, there was stocks, there were different investments, bonds, and whatever. But I feel as though real estate was just a simple thing people understood. I own this land. It puts me a little bit higher than I, originally was. It makes me, I'm holding something, I guess, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just kind of, that's kind of the route they kind of decided to go along with. So, bought his first plot of land, built a house on it, then met my grandmother. She moved over here, and then they decided to, build a business. They did the trash company, actually, in East LA, and kind of built it from the ground up with the help of my father, and uncles, aunts, everything.
So real family business.
Yeah, real family business. Mm-hmm. And kind of just built our little empire, and then, invested, did what we needed to do, and made a little a dynasty, if you will.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah.
So it's amazing. It's everyone has their own story, has their own route. Now, what does that look like for you being a grandchild and you are part of the family and now your goals are USC? Did everyone go to college? Was that their focus back then? Or was it continuous, just everyone worked within the family and they continued to run the family business? What was their education path?
Yeah, I mean, as far as that, I'm pretty much one of the first to go to college. Mm-hmm. From my dad to my grandfather, they no education for the most part. My dad maybe half year of community college, but he's just working on trash trucks all the time, so he didn't really have tons and tons of time to dedicate to schooling. As far as my life, it was more so my grandfather sacrificing his time, and him, knowing his purpose, I guess, in this whole story, to help my father out and also help me out to allow me to basically not work hard but work smarter with my time.
And you and your father are both boys. Is that more of a cultural thing, or are you guys just the only kids in the family? That your father's side, that he has no siblings and you are an only child?
No, I have a sister. I guess I'm just more involved with it, if that makes sense.
Okay.
But I mean, as far as like my dad and his siblings as well, they're just as involved, but I feel like my dad and I kind of have this connection, like kind of with our grandparents helping them, and kind of this almost like symbiotic relationship, if you will.
Like passing on the torch.
Yeah, kind of in a way.
That's neat.
Yeah.
And are you involved now with company business? Family business?
Well, the family business. So we actually sold the trash company, but my father went on to different things, and he's investing, and we're kind of sustaining what we have.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's this. There's this gap where we have plots of land and different things that we're involved with that I would like to capitalize on based on my education that I've been able to attain through their sacrifices.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's kind of my responsibility, if that that register as well. It's no one's telling me to do it, but it feels like I have this obligation to continue what they've kind of started.
Yeah, no, that's great. So I've read many articles over the years, and a lot of times as one family member has done a tremendous amount of sacrifice and has maybe built an empire, but maybe as they pass on the next generation over time, sometimes family members lose wealth over time, depending on how they're spending. But it sounds like what you're talking about is everyone's kind of involved now, and everyone's kind of part of the family meeting, or sitting around the table and kind of chatting about it. Is that something that you guys regularly do, or and kind of talk about what your thoughts or your opinions for the legacy of what that looks like, so your family's name gets to be carried on and everything that they sacrificed and created over the years?
Well, I feel like that thought, like, kind of sustaining a name, I feel like that's always at the back of everyone's mind with every decision they make, you know. We've grown up to say, oh, you're a Muradian, you know, kind of, you know, you're supposed to be very proud of, you know, who you are.
Yeah.
And we don't have, I guess, we have family conversations, but not maybe as regularly as other people would, or if they do at all. It's just kind of at our own pace. And there are some people more involved than others in different areas, you know, depending on their expertise or what they're interested in. So it's just, it really just depends, I guess.
How do you think you earned the trust of your grandparents and your father to be able to be part of that decision-making process?
Well, I feel like it has a lot to do with, like, time and placement. So I mean, as a small child, I was always close with my grandparents. I kind of built this unspoken trust, you know, kind of how you look at someone and you know, they don't have to be smiling, but you could see that they're smiling, you could see that they're happy. It's kind of the same thing. It's the same, like, you know, like, our minds are linked, if that makes sense.
Okay.
And that they just kind of, they have this intrinsic, a bond, but like inherited, like, thought of, like, I trust you.
Okay.
Even from like a younger standpoint.
Okay.
And that's just kind of led, you know, until now.
So here's my question. So we see a lot of family dynamics that may or may not have this, you know, look that they understand from one generation to the next. How does a parent's convey to a child or have this feeling that they're ready or that they can listen to their opinions or their thought process? Because now you're young and you're educated and you have a direction and a drive. What's some advice that you can give other children or, you know, the next to the third generation out there to trust the parents and say, or have the parents trust them and say, hey, you know, listen to what I have to contribute. Is it because you're listening to what they're saying first and not just giving your opinion? What's some of your thoughts on that?
Well, as far as, like, them trusting you, I mean, personally, I think it has a lot to do with the child himself or the generation that's, you know, thinking about this. Mm-hmm. They have to be cognizant of the position that they're in and kind of know their place, kind of understand that. Sure, like, and or understand that based on what the parent or the grandparent, that's, you know, that's their choice to decide whether or not you are involved, and to kind of, yeah, you could push it a little bit, but to understand that there is a certain time and place where your opinion will be heard, and kind of wait for that time. There are other times as well where you can basically, you know, gain that trust. And I think maybe the only thing that I have for these people are to be patient, to be honest. It really just depends on the family situation and kind of where you're placed in it.
So basically, you know, when the feeling is right or the timing is right, be ready, but continue to develop yourself.
Sure.
Okay. Well,
yeah, I mean, luck is preparation meets opportunity. So be prepared for when the opportunity arises, and, you know, you should be able to capitalize on it.
Great. So how do you, is there any steps that you think that you could do or encourage your friends, and not really encourage your friends, but maybe give some advice on as to when a parent would, there's things that they can show them, right? So a lot of times I talk to clients and they're like, yeah, they're not ready. They don't know what they're doing yet.
Sure. No, I understand.
You know, what are things that you think that you can do to show them that you're ready?
Well, I think it has a lot to do with action, because a lot of people can say things, but many or very few can really do certain things. So, like, my choice to go to college, although it's pretty much an obligation for most kids who want to be successful, today's day and age. I think that's a good step in the right direction, you know, and also depending on what your hobbies are. Do you like to go out, you know, go out every Saturday, or do you spend that time being constructive, you know, or, you know, it doesn't even have to be, financial financially related, you know, where you're playing guitar, you're going, you know, working out, you know, taking care of yourself. It just kind of, it's the facade, or not facade, it's the kind of like the personality you give off, mm-hmm. you know, with every decision that you make.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Absolutely. So what are some of the things that interest you now with regards to what you've experienced, what's worked for them, and maybe what hasn't worked for them? What are some of the directions that spark your interest today? I know that you've experienced kind of what we do on, you know, creating wealth management as well, but just big picture, like what excites you on investing in general and things that you've taken over time or experienced?
Well, I feel like I've kind of been self-motivated and kind of finding what I like and not being easily influenced by other people. So it kind of starts there, to be honest. And then that just kind of cascades into like a bunch of different interests that intrigue me, I guess. And I mean, just investing was kind of one of those. So I mean, like it could just start out, you know, with you liking, or like an example would be you could start with liking music and then you could start playing guitar. Mm-hmm. Me is like I have an interest in money. So like, you know, how do you get like, you know, how do you maintain or increase capital, you know, investments. So like there are different ways of investing, which lead me to real estate or, you know, different securities that you'd like to invest in. But, you know, that's just kind of that's how it kind of develops.
So on the weekends, you're looking at different securities.
I'm looking at sheets. I'm looking at sheets. Honestly.
So just so you know, I used to do this as a child and people used to make so much fun of me. But, you know, I enjoy what I do every day. So hopefully along your path, you find out you're able to do exactly what you want. So in a perfect world, what does exactly what you want look like?
Exactly what I want. There are a lot of things that I want to do.
Let's talk about career.
Career, yeah. You can't really narrow it down. I mean, right now I'm in the position where I'm trying several different things to see what I like. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me to narrow it down right now, I feel like it's a little too fast of a decision.
Okay.
So I can't pinpoint it. Something in real estate, I got my real estate license, which is like a little woohoo, you know. But besides that, I think time will take its course and I'll be okay.
Yeah. You're exploring and figuring it out.
Yeah,
do you feel exciting. Like you're learning new things in your classes that are inspiring you or motivating you to kind of look into different jobs or different career paths?
Well, I don't only look at the class itself. I communicate with the teacher. I try to talk mm-hmm. and kind of get, you know, his information, his personal, you know, experiences. And you know, there's plenty of people at USC with plenty of financial experience, especially in the business school. And just kind of taking their wisdom, mm-hmm. Not just the course curriculum.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. So we're running low on time here, but is there any other things that you wanted to be able to make sure that you shared with people in the next generation or going forward, or things that you wanted to talk about with your family, things that we want to make sure that we address today?
Nothing specifically. However, as far as people looking to be involved with their family, their family estate or mm-hmm. whatever it might be, mm-hmm. just as far as maybe even trust, just kind of show them that you're capable and show them that you understand what's going on, but not really overstepping your bounds.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. That makes sense. Absolutely. So we, Bart and I have shared this many a times, but sometimes what we do with our clients is we have family meetings. So we might have a family meeting and bring everyone in, and we might not be talking about portfolios at all. It's just really everyone talking about, does your family have a mission statement? Do you guys, and help create something like that, so everyone's on the same page. Mm-hmm. Do you guys have some of the same values, or are your goals and objectives the same as your next generation's goals and objectives? And if they're different, that's okay to be different. Like you just expressed, you have different thought processes, you have different experiences, but you're taking what's good from one and passing it on to the next. And what I've seen that's really worked for several people that have been successful at this is the more communication you have in you know, expressing what your vision is and what your thoughts are from one generation to the next, people, you know, it's not always smooth by sure. any means, right? Everyone right, has right. their own opinion, and, you know, sometimes it could be, you know, I created it all, and this is the way it's going to be, and bottom line, and that's what it is, and they'll figure it out when they pass, and we see that too. So it really depends on the family dynamic, but I feel like for sustainability and being able to understand, maybe there's certain causes that you're really passionate about, and maybe they have causes that they're really passionate about, and having a dialogue of what that looks like, and then kind of teaching them what's important to you, and maybe, like, for example, bringing in other experts, so then they're understanding what some of these things are, understanding, you know, you don't have to be a CPA, but understanding yeah. what it looks like to look at a balance sheet, to look sure. at your taxes, what you're buying, what you're selling, and kind of understanding just the basics of finance, mm-hmm. that goes a really long way, and it helps our clients. So, you know, those are the things that I've heard over the years that's been helpful. I know we have just 2 minutes left, and we're getting running out of time, but we always ask every person who comes in here is, what's your ultimate lesson learned? And I'd love to ask you that today.
A second lesson learned.
So you were on before. So yeah. instead of asking your ultimate lesson learned, maybe something that you would like to share with the audience that you want your legacy, something that's important to you. That's, I know we talked about health health and wealth are correlated. That's yeah. important that you resonate with. Maybe you want to share something about that in your
sure,
view?
Sure. Yeah. So something that Bart always brings up, I've listened to the podcast before, that, you know, a lot of people spend their time sacrificing their life in order to, you know, in order to make money. However, when the time comes, they try to use that money to kind of rejuvenate their life, and it doesn't always work that way. Mm-hmm. And I've kind of found that to be true about just taking care of yourself now, so it's not so hard later on, you know, your golden years.
Yeah. Well spoken. Thank you so much for being on the show. I appreciate
Thank you
it.
Very much. Appreciate it.
Yeah, everyone tune in. And if you guys want to like us on social media, you can go on our Instagram and our Facebook and
Do
LinkedIn
it.
And yeah. tag us. And also on our, we have Podbeam and iHeartRadio and iTunes. And you can go to all of the new just podcast buttons and like us and listen to us and share something about it. So then that's really kind of where you want to get good information from. If you like what you're hearing, definitely give us your feedback, because we hear it, we listen to it. So thank you everyone for tuning in. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks so much.
Tune in next week for the latest edition of the Zandbergen Report, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Catch up on our recent shows by visiting bartzandbergen.podbean.com. The Zandbergen Report is also available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Interested in being a featured guest on our show, or have a question you'd like to hear us answer? Email podcast@bartzandbergen.com. Bart A. Zandbergen, CFP, and Letitia Burbaum, AIF, are registered investment advisors with Optivest, Inc., and registered representatives with Gramercy Securities, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered by Optivest, Inc. under SEC registration.